Good morning. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, we've seen you today in beautiful ways already. Just in seeing how you handled that visit at Simon's house. And there's nobody like you, Lord. Nobody just like you. Thank you that you're making us like you. And Lord, we love what we see, and we just pray that you could continue that work, transforming us by the renewing of our mind, by the power of your Spirit. Lord, we want to see you some more. Open our eyes. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that say, "Yes, Lord, I want what you want." Lord, touch everybody here, we pray, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank those of you who prayed for me last week down there at the Bible school in North Carolina. I didn't know that preaching could be so much fun. And just such a blessing. I just really enjoyed it and felt felt carried by God. So thank you. Some of you sent me texts. You know, it's amazing what a few words can mean in someone's life, isn't it? Just a little text. "I'm praying for you. You know, God bless you." That just meant a lot to me. Had a good time there and enjoyed meeting new people, new brothers and sisters and youth. Then last Sunday, the last day we were there, we went to someone's house for some fellowship, and I got a phone call from my sister telling me that my mom had passed away. And so it's quite an emotional week, as you can imagine. It was so nice to be there with some brothers that I could share that with, and prayed for us. And I had some tears in my eyes of relief. You know, she'd been in hospice for a year. Mostly of relief and of joy. Because God gave me a witness that my mother's with Him. Right there as we were sitting with those people. Just brought some things to my mind that I'll share later on. So I was thinking about what to share about today, and I couldn't think of anything but my mom. So the title of my message is Lessons from Mom. And I'm hoping hoping it'll be a blessing for you all, if you'll allow me to just share my mother's life with you. And not just about my mother. What I'd like to do is use her life and the choices she made to speak to us here today. So the message is going to be a little bit, kind of like one of the shotgun messages. You shoot a lot of pellets out and they spread out pretty wide. It's not maybe a laser beam, but there's a lot of lessons I think we could glean from. I hope it's as much a blessing to you as it was to me as yesterday as I was thinking about it. Moms are pretty special. Moms are very special. You only got one of them. Most people. Only one biological mom. So, Adam, maybe I'll shed a few tears here this morning, too. I don't know. I think I got them all out, but I don't know if that's true or not. So I'd like to talk about lessons from Mom. Lord, help me to share here how to pull it all together. When I was a boy, probably six or seven, eight, I came home from school one day with a new word I learned in the schoolyard. It was one of those four-letter words. And the boy in the schoolyard was saying it really, it sounded really cool, really tough. He kept repeating that word. And I got home from school and I came in and I saw my mom and I said that word. She didn't think it was cool. She said, "Where did you learn that? Do you know what that means?" Well, I didn't have a clue what it meant. She took me into the bathroom and got some soap. And I got my mouth cleaned up. How many people here ever get your mouth washed out with soap? I guarantee you it doesn't feel good. That's about the worst thing you can ever taste. But you know what? It was effective. I certainly didn't say that in front of my mom again. Later on, maybe years later, I when I was in rebellion, I said things, but I got the message from Mom, "You don't talk like that. That's wrong." I'm thankful for a mom like that. I'm thankful she didn't just say, "Oh, well." No biggie, he'll grow out of it. No, she was offended. And she was concerned for me and for her house. My mom, she had that. That's part of her life. She was a good lady. Most of her life, I don't believe she was saved. But she was a good lady. She had some good standards that she learned from her parents. There was another incident when I was a boy, about the same age. I got into a lot of trouble. And I went to the Wawa I used to walk home from school. We had about a mile from school to our home. And she somehow hooked me up with this other fellow to walk. He was about halfway there, so I would walk home with him. And we went into the Wawa one day, and he said to me, "Watch this." And he proceeded to stick candy in his pocket. He said, "You know, look at the manager," I think is what he said the first time. And I didn't know what was happening. We got out of the store, and then he pulls out candy. And he says, "Hey, here's some candy. You want some?" I said, "Well, how'd you get that?" And he said, "I got it by the five-finger discount," was what he called it in his little boy, foolish, thieving heart. And he and I began to steal from Wawa. We'd come home and our parents, my mother would say, I'd be eating candy when I got home from school. And she'd say, "Where'd you get that?" And I said, "Oh, Mark gave it to me." And he would go home to his mom and he'd be eating candy. And he said the same thing, only because he said, "I gave it to him." One day our two moms got together. And it was like, it's really nice of your son to give my son candy, but, well, wait a minute, I thought your son, and we got caught. My mom took me back to the Wawa. She said, "You're going to go there. You're going to go there with me. We're going to talk to the man." Big Al was his name. He was this big, big man. And I was scared of him. He said, and she knew Al, and Al knew her. She said, "We're going to go back to talk to Al." And she did. She took me over there. She told Al, "My son wants to tell you something." And she made me face my sin, face my crime. She was a good mom. She was a good mom. That had a good effect in my life. A couple lessons I gleaned from that. One is, if you get caught, thank God for it. Did you know it's the mercy of God that you get caught? Whatever it is, if you get caught in some sin, thank God you got caught. Because if you didn't get caught, that's no blessing. It's the mercy of God that He reveals these things before that great day when all things will be laid bare. The worst thing that could happen is you didn't get caught. You believe that? Because then you got fooled because you thought you got away with something. But you know what? Nobody gets away with anything. So I thank God I got caught. And I thank God I had a mother who said, "You're going to face the music, son. We're going back there and you're going to make this thing right." And she paid him some money. Probably wasn't enough, but, you know, she wanted to make it right. Thank you for that, Mom. Another lesson from that is, you know, it says that he that walks with wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Parents, we need to take heed there. You know, that maybe was a mistake. I'm going to talk mostly about the good things my mom did. I don't want to talk about the bad. She had her mistakes and sins and problems like we all do. But that was a mistake there. So important, parents, that we, you know, all children are foolish, right? They're all foolish. My children are, and yours too. And something we adopted as a young couple, an attitude that we said is, you know what, we want to watch over our children's lives. We don't want to just send them for hours out playing in the yard by themselves. Or for up in their bedrooms playing by themselves. We said, we're not going to do that because fools will be foolish. And I just want to encourage us as parents today, don't do that. Don't just let them loose and, you know, enjoy your whatever you're enjoying, and there they are, getting into what foolish people will get into. It's important. Another lesson for Mom that I appreciate, she kept her vows, her marriage vow. You know, there was times when my mom and dad really were not doing well. I shared here before, there were times at mealtimes where I got a stomach ache because there would be tension and arguing and stuff. But my mom had a deep sense in her being, a vow matters. I made a vow way back. And she kept her vow. You know what? That's a blessing. That's a lesson for us here. It wasn't easy for her. She could have easily given up. But I thank God for a mom who kept her vow. One of the things I also got from my mom was that she taught us to be faithful in going to church. Always, without exception. Unless there was some serious, you know, you almost had to be in the hospital to miss church. She believed, you know, that we need to be there. One time when I was, I think, 11, I went to visit some friends of mine in Washington, D.C. And they were Quakers. And my mother was very concerned that I wasn't going to go to church that Sunday. And she contacted the priest, the bishop, whoever it was, to make sure I could have an exception. You know, that it'd be okay. And you know, some of that is religious. A lot of that's religious works or whatever. But you know what? I'm thankful for that lesson that Mom taught me. It's important to go to church. And you don't make excuses for it. You know, you go. Sure, if you're sick or you know there's reasons not to go, but in other words, that is just in me. That thing's just in there. Do we realize that our children are going to have certain things that are just in them that aren't going to be hard for them to do? They're not going to be something they even think about. But it's just part of the way they are because of what they grew up with. It's a powerful thing. Incredibly powerful. And everybody has it. Everybody has these things in them, whatever they are, from the way that mom and dad lived their life. Those things are deeply there. I mean, the first time I ever met Laura, she sat on the second bench to the front. That's where she grew up. So it's no wonder she sits there today, right? But that's just the way she grew up. Her parents always sat there. I mean, if anybody else wants to sit there, you can. It's not our bench or anything. But just those things shape our life. So many little ways. And I'm glad that that's one thing my mom shaped in my life. And I just want to challenge us this morning. What are the things? Think about your life. What are the things that unconsciously, by osmosis, your children are receiving? What are the things that are going to be a struggle for them? What are the things that are going to come easy for them? That it'll just be like second nature. And I think that's a good thing to think about. You know, oftentimes we think about our teaching our children by what we actually maybe sit down to show them or tell them or whatever. But you know what? That's not really what when we teach our children, is it? That's just this much of how we teach our children. When we teach our children is every moment of every day. How we react, how we respond, what we do. And so that's a sobering thought. One of the powerful things in my mother's life was a sense of fairness. I looked at her high school yearbook. You know how they write little things, sayings that people said and so forth? You know what her favorite saying was? That's not fair. She had this incredible inner drive to make sure that things were fair. And it struck me this morning. She was the seventh of eight children. And from what I could gather, based upon the way my cousins treated me, and what I heard my mom say, the older ones in the family, the younger ones kind of had to just deal with the scraps, or they had to take what was left over. And so I believe that's what shaped my mother, to that strong need to say, it needs to be fair. That's not fair. And, you know, the lesson I think we have for us here this morning is, those are powerful shaping things in all of our lives. I want to challenge the young people here. How do you treat your siblings? Your younger siblings. Do you honor them? Do you lift them up? Or do you treat them like, you know, you're just a little squirt, you know, you're not quite there. You're not worth as much as we are. So that was a powerful shaping thing in my mom's life. And a lot of it was good. Some of it wasn't. And that leads me to the next point. She had this desire to be treated fairly, but it wasn't a double standard. She treated other people that way. She was a phys ed teacher in our school. There was no phys ed teacher. My mother said, you know what, I'd like to teach that if you'll let me. So that's what she did. And she had this megaphone that she would talk through to tell all the children what they should do. It wasn't always easy having your mom be the phys ed teacher, but this one day, the children were taking her megaphone and yelling things through it. Okay? And she said, the next person that does that's going to the principal. Well, as it would happen, my brother Chip was the next person who did that. I don't know if he didn't hear. He probably didn't, because I don't think he would have done it. But anyway, Chip did it. Took that megaphone, and so now Mrs. Lloyd's on the spot. And to her credit, she sent him to the principal's office. That's just one example of how she was not partial. She treated her children, you know, the same way as the other students in her class. She went out of her way to do that. And one of the things that annoyed me as a boy was that my dad was a CPA, okay, certified public accountant. But my mother was way sharper than him at finding discrepancies in restaurant bills, grocery bills. And I mean, it was embarrassing to me as a boy, but she would always be double checking everything. And, you know, almost every time she found something wrong. It was incredible. But it was embarrassing because, you know, the checkout person would be embarrassed. And I'm just sort of this boy sitting next to her. Oh, here we go. Something's coming. You know, I know it's going to happen again. And sure enough, she found some little thing there. And most often it was their fault. But, you know, there were some times where she found out that she got undercharged. And she was fair. Her fairness was not partial. She would gladly pay. She wouldn't let that go by. So that's a credit to my mom. You know, I appreciate that. That her sense of fairness wasn't just, you got to treat me fair, but that, you know what, we all need to be fair. We need to do this without partiality, like the Bible says. She was very competitive. My mom hated to lose. Didn't matter what game it was. The only thing she hated worse than losing was cheating. She hated cheating. My children would play Scrabble with her, okay? And she had Parkinson's disease for 20 years. She couldn't hold her head up off the table, hardly, because of the Parkinson's. And she'd be doing this, and my children would, you know, cut her a little break here and there. And she said, now, you're not letting me do this, are you? She says, I don't want you to give me anything. You know, I don't want any breaks. She just didn't, you know, she wanted to win fair and square, but she did want to win. And she'd call everything to the last, you know, dictionary definition to make sure this is legit. But, like I said, the only thing she hated more than losing was cheating. She hated cheating. To her, that just ruined everything.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, another thing about my mom, she was very merciful. You know, the Bible says, and again, this is a woman who's not born again. She took in strangers. She welcomed the hurting people. I can't hardly think of a Thanksgiving or a Christmas celebration where there was not at least one person around our table who was somebody who didn't have a family. She always did that. Mrs. Schlatka was one of them. She was quite a lady. Us children always still talk about her. She was just so happy for turkey. She loved turkey so much. And this lady, she'd just go, oh, turkey, turkey, turkey. I just love turkey. And we just look forward to that every Thanksgiving. Mrs. Schlatka, she's going to do the turkey thing. And we would all, you know, it was part of our family. Because Mom wanted to reach out to the lonely, the stranger. The Bible says we shouldn't do that, right? And I thought, you know what, there's a lesson maybe we can learn this year from my mom. Bring somebody into your circle this year that doesn't have a family. Invite somebody in. You know, we love our family. We like to be all around. And it's a little bit, you know, it's not quite as convenient. And, you know, especially needy people, they sometimes take up a lot of attention and stuff. But you know what? That's one of the best memories that me and my siblings have of those times, is that our mom brought somebody in here. Always, always somebody. Sometimes it was several. And that's a beautiful thing. And I appreciate, you know, your hearts, you all. I know a lot, that's your heart. I know your heart beats with that. Amen? And that's God's will. So why don't we just open our hearts a little bit, our homes and hearts a little bit wider this year. This is the time of year when we have these gatherings, right? Bring in somebody that doesn't have a family.
That'll mean a lot to them. And you know what? It'll mean a lot to your family.
Took in my cousin, whose parents were getting divorced. She lived with our family for 6 months, I think. Took in a young teenager when we were younger than that, whose mom died. And my mom took her into our home. She became like a part of our family. She'd take other people into the home. And finally, she took her own mom into our home. And she cared for my grandma, who had leukemia for the last 6 to 12 months, I forget how long it was, of her life. And you know what? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. My brother took her into his house. And I would have took her into my house. And she was so thankful for that, you know, that she didn't go to some home somewhere. So she demonstrated something to me about honoring parents that I appreciate. She did that for her mom. Wasn't easy, convenient. You know, in the society we live in, that's kind of a lost thing almost. Taking your parents in. No, just send them away somewhere where they can dope them up and keep them in a chair in the corner. And I know sometimes those things are needed. Maybe not the doping up in the corner, but, you know, taking somebody in. But sometimes it's too much. But I believe that's a Christian thing to do. I think that's a godly thing. And, of course, we love having Mom with us. Laura's mom. What a blessing. Mom asked me this morning, how can I help you during this time of grieving? And, you know, I said, you already are. Just be who you are. You're already a help. What a blessing. So I thank Mom for that. Thank God for Mom. And all right. More lessons from Mom. Did you know that you and I were made in the image of God? What does that mean? I believe one of the things it means is that every person has something in them that is godlike. Gifts. And I think God did that because He wanted to leave a testimony among the human race that people would see some of His qualities of who He is. Now, in my mom's case, she had a gift of giving. The Bible talks about that. Some have the gift of giving. I believe that was my mom's gift. She was a giver. She loved nothing more than to give things to people. That turned her on completely. That was what excited her. We come to see her, you know, at a nursing homes, and she was like our booking agent for our singing group. Whenever she went somewhere, she had to go to homes for medical treatments and different things, probably, I don't know, 10, 15 times in the last 3 years. And without fail, she had a booking for us. She said, okay, you know, we talked to her beforehand. All right, look, everybody, they're going to bring everybody down to the center room at 3 o'clock. Now, you're going to be here by then, right? Yeah, yep, we'll be there. You know, Mom, we're coming to see you. We're coming to see you, Mom. No, well, yeah, I know that, but you know, they're going to like it so well when you sing, so come on. Okay, Mom, bring your songbooks. All right, yep, we'll bring them. And without fail, at first it offended me a little bit because I was like, Mom, you know, we're here to visit you. We just want to sit next to your bed and just talk about things and just, you know, bless, reminisce and so forth. And it kind of bothered me that she was always setting up these things. And it recently finally struck me that was her joy, was to give something to somebody. And if she's in this thing, she wants to give them a little concert from her son. This is something I can do. And giving was the thing that just turned her on. Like I said, you know, we're going to have a memorial service on Wednesday and she won't be there. Her body won't be there. Because, you know why? She gave it to medical science. That's how she viewed life. Everything is an opportunity for me to give. Let's see, I've got this body. Well, I'm going to be gone. But what? Just stick it in the grave? No, to her, that was no way. I'm going to give it to medical science. Maybe they'll discover something that'll help somebody. That was her way of thinking. She had this, I mean, it was a supernatural gift. You could not go to visit my mom without getting something. You know, she'd bring me the checkbook every time. Bring me the checkbook. Mom, we don't need any money. You know, please, don't do that. Now, bring me the checkbook. Bring me the check. And she's also kind of stubborn. So there's no point in trying to argue. All right, I'll bring it, you know. So we'd bring the checkbook over and she'd write us a check for, you know, $40 or whatever. I want to pay for your tolls. I want to pay for your gas. You know, you came to the... She just was a giver. And she never came to visit us without something to bring. Amazing gift from God. She was born that way. It was a gift of God. And you know, this is what I'm saying. You know, here's a verse up here. What do you have that you haven't received? Everything. You know, sometimes we praise each other for these gifts that we had from the time we were born even. Now, I know there's spiritual gifts that sometimes we get after we're saved. But you think about the good things in the qualities in my life. I think about them in your life. And if we're really honest, I think we have to admit, you know what? God made me that way. I'm just doing what I was given. I think when we stand before the Lord, you know, in fact, it says that nobody's going to be proud when we stand before God. I think we're all going to realize every good thing that is in me was received from my Father in heaven. Whether you're a lost person or whether you're saved, everything in me was given to me. Oh, these people praise these men, you know, and athletes and generals for the great victories they won. I believe when they find out we stand before God, it's going to be seen. No, God made you get that victory, sir. God made the weather to turn a certain way, and God caused this and that. And so many people, things that people lift up like great men. He was a great man. He was a mighty this and that. We're going to find out. No, God was working. God gets the glory. All the glory goes to God. And so here I am. I'm praising my mother in a sense, but really I'm giving God the glory because He made Mom that way. He put in her that gift of giving, that desire that she just wanted to give to people and give to people. And why? He wanted there to be somebody and lots of people like that in the earth to show who He is, because God's a giver. And He doesn't want anybody leaving without getting something. Right? And He doesn't want anybody leaving here today without getting something. He's a giver. I thank God for that gift in my mother. And what a blessing. She was always driving people places. One of the things she did was, we lived near this Plymouth Meeting Mall. I don't know if you've ever been there. And she would drive past this Chestnut Hill College, which was a Catholic college, and there was a lot of nuns there. The sisters, we called them sisters, you know, they had the head coverings, the black head coverings and things on them. And so my mom always would stop there. And again, as a little boy and my siblings, we didn't appreciate it. Oh no, she's going to stop again. Here's the sisters at the bus stop. She'd pull over and say, "Where are you going?" "We're going to the mall." "Come on, get in." You know, that was Mom. If we went to the shore for the day, she always was taking some other child that didn't have a parent to take, you know, that would take them. That was Mom. One of her greatest worries in the end of her life was she was afraid that she wouldn't have any money left over to give her children when she died. That was a concern of hers. She's like, "Oh, you know, I'm living so long, I'm just hanging in there. I'm afraid that my money will all be gone and you guys won't get anything." Well, she did have something to give us. I'm sure that pleases her. She wanted to give. What a beautiful thing. In fact, you know, today we stuck in a lot of your mailboxes or gave to you these CDs that we just did. In a large way, in more ways than one, those are gifts from my mom. So take them as such from us. I hope it's a blessing to you. That's in a big way, that's a gift from my mom. You know, one of the things that my mom taught us was to love singing. She always loved singing. She always was singing. Probably why my dad married her. You know, she was, I'm kind of like my dad. I look like him, and I'm kind of quiet and reserved like him, you know. And so, you know, we like wives with a little more spice and more, you know, life. And She was singing was a big part of her life. She loved to sing. One of her games was when we were driving home from like the shore, she'd say, "Name it, just say a word, just any word you want, and I'm going to have a song for it." So we'd come up with these words, and she had a song for every word, literally. Now, these weren't, you know, Amazing Grace and you know, so forth, but they were just the songs that she knew. She would sing a song with that word in it, and if she didn't have a song, she'd make one up on the spot. So there was never a time when Mom got stumped for a song. And that rubbed off on me. I do that with my children. I make up little jingles for all their names, you know, and sing to them. And I thank God for that gift. That's a good gift. Sing. Sing in our homes. Praise the Lord. Pass on a love for song for others. Well, there's lots of things I could say. One, I guess, you know, I'm getting into more of the heart of what I want to share today. Well, let me say this. Mom always wanted to make sure everybody got something that they liked. So what ended up happening, like for Thanksgiving and Christmas, okay, it started out with this many different dishes, right? By the time, you know, I was a teenager, there was like everything, 50 different things on the table because she wanted to make sure everybody got this thing that they liked. And we were like, come on, Mom, you know, we can do something different next time. But no, I've got to have everything here. That's her giving heart. Well, what touched me down there in North Carolina? Let me just say this. When I was a boy, when I was 6 years old, I used to go to school. And Mr. Allen would drive us. And I would not want to leave home without a kiss from my mom. And there were times where she was in the bathroom sitting on the toilet. And now this 6-year-old boy would bang on the door. Mr. Allen's out there beeping the horn. Mom, I need a kiss. And she'd be like, all right, come in. So I'd go in, and she'd be sitting on the toilet, and she'd give me a kiss, and I'd go out happy and go to school. She just couldn't be denied, you know. I mean, I wouldn't be denied, and she wouldn't deny me. Well, I was down in North Carolina, and my sister, this was the day, 2 days before she died. My sister Carrie was with her, and she said, Paul, where's Paul? I want to talk to Paul. And Carrie said, hey, I'll get him on the phone. So she called me on FaceTime. And she said, you know, Mom wants to talk to you. Well, my mom couldn't say anything. Her face was all wrinkled. You know, I mean, it was like, she almost didn't recognize. You know, FaceTime sort of makes your things look bad anyway. But my mom really looked bad. I hadn't seen her that bad. And I just said, Mom, I love you. I love you, Mom. And I saw her lips move just a little bit. And my sister said, she loves you too. She loves you too. And then my mom grabbed the phone. And she pulled it up to her face and she kissed the phone. And I got inside the house. I said goodbye. You know, I said goodbye, Mom. I love you so much. I said call upon the name of Jesus, Mom. Call upon the name of Jesus. And my sister goes, she said, Paul, just yesterday, she said, I was sitting there with Mom, and she was looking like she was looking past me. She wasn't looking at me. She was looking beyond me, and she said it looked like she saw somebody. And she the name of Jesus Christ came. She was saying Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Out of her mouth. Hallelujah. Glory. But anyway, I walked in the house and it just all of a sudden just hit me. My mom loved me. She wanted to give me my kiss. It's like it all came back. I don't think about that very often. It came back. She wanted me to get the thing that I love. The thing that I liked. You know, this little 6-year-old boy. She wanted to give me that kiss. The last thing. And I just broke out into tears. My family, I think they didn't know what was going on, but it was a beautiful moment. Love is so powerful. And I just can't describe how much it meant to me to know that my mother loves me. She wanted to give me that kiss. Thank you, Lord. You know, I thought I was scheduled to go down there and preach, you know, and I knew that my mom wasn't doing very well. I knew that she might not make it. But I thought, you know what, God has called me to do this, and I'm going to do it. And that just meant so much to me that God would give me that moment like that. So like you said, I got everything, you know, under control. You just serve me, do what I have you to do, and I'll take care of that other stuff. To me, that's a more precious memory than if I would have been there next to her. Well, I barely made it through that one. Moms, there's something incredibly precious about the love of a mother. It can melt the heart of a 55-year-old man. Just to know that my mom really, really loves me. She's dying. She's leaving this earth. She can't even talk hardly, but she's going to give me that kiss. Wow. I'll never forget that. Well, I want to just, you know, Jesus told a parable one time that men ought always to pray and never to give up. Right? I want to tell a story. I want to talk about now how we should always pray and never give up. I prayed for my mom for 30 years. 30 years. Someone asked me, "Are you grieving?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm," or something like that. And I said, "Well, you know, I'm really not grieving." I said, "I've been grieving for 30 years. Because I was afraid my mom would die and miss heaven. And now I'm not grieving because I have the rejoicing that my mama is with Jesus." Jesus told this story that men ought always to pray and not to give up. I can't testify that I was perfect in 30 years. That I always prayed, you know, every day. I didn't. I went through seasons of prayer. When I first got saved, I had this great burden for my family and I prayed a lot for them. Asked God to work and I saw God work. You know, one time, the first year I was saved, I called home and I was praying. I said, "God, bring Christians to my family. Bring people to them, you know. People who can tell the gospel to them and stuff." And I called my mom one time and she just offered this. She said, "You know, the strangest thing happened this week. I had this repairman come here for the washing machine." And she said, this guy believes in God. I think he kind of believes in God like you do. She said, he put his hand on the machine and he prayed that God would help him to figure out what was wrong with it. Well, I just started crying on the other end of the line because I said, "God, you're answering my prayer. You're sending people to my mother 2,000 miles away. I can't be with her right now. I'm supposed to be in Colorado." Don't ever give up. Ask God to send people to your loved one. He is faithful. And He did. He sent. That's not the only one He sent. He sent people time and again to my family. And still sending them. Well, let's just look at that. Luke chapter 18, real quick. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, never to give up. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" Okay, what a story. Here's this lady, this widow lady. She has no help on earth, okay? Her husband's gone. It seems like she has no earthly help. The man that she has to deal with is an unjust man. It says that he doesn't fear God. And he doesn't care what other people think. He's just one of these guys who's just going to do what I want to do. And he told her, "No, I will not give you what you want." Well, she just kept coming. She had nothing else to do. She was desperate. I think there's a lesson in that for us. Are we desperate? How bad do we want that thing we need? That person to get saved? That whatever? She just kept coming. And he said, listen to what this story tells us. He said, you know, this guy, well, in our terms, this guy was a jerk who didn't care about people and didn't fear God. He was just a no good. But he said, you know, I'm just going to give her what she wants because she's bugging me so much. Get her off my case. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that thing. Go. And then Jesus compares that to our Father in heaven. Here, and shall not God, the God who says, I have engraven you on the palms of my hands, though a mother will forget her own son, yet I will not forget you. I've graven you upon the palms of my hands. That's our God. He says, how much more will He avenge His own elect who cry day and night unto Him? I want to encourage us today, don't give up in prayer. Whatever the thing is, don't give up in prayer. You know, Jesus said at the end, He said, will the Son of Man, when He comes, will He find faith on the earth? You know what's happening in the world in our day? A lot is people are giving up. They're looking at all the bad stuff coming on. They're looking at the Antichrist system coming and the presidential elections and the wars and the terrible things that are happening. And many hearts are just growing faint. You know, that's part of the last days. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax faint. And God is still the same. And if we're not careful, we get sucked into this basic unbelief. Jesus said, will they find faith on the earth? Unbelief that says, yeah, I prayed for my mom for 25 years and nothing seems to have happened. I could have said that. And there are times where I probably did say that. But then I'd get the burden again and I'd come back and I'd say, oh God, bring her to yourself, Lord. We'd go visit her, you know, and we'd pray before we went. What about our church? Do you feel discouraged? I mean, I'm encouraged about our church, but there's times I get discouraged too, right? A lot of that depends on what you're looking at. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. God is able to bring us through our problems and our difficulties and our issues. Don't give up praying for nothing. Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? We saw the hand of God take a woman. You know, one of the great blessings for my mom was that she got bedridden for a year. I told you she was a very energetic lady. She was a doer. Well, she got bedridden. There's not a lot you can do in bed, but you got to think. And this was when we started to see the hand of the Lord work in her heart and life. She started, before when we wanted to talk about spiritual things, my mom would quickly change the subject. Sing a song for me, you know. Let's do this. Oh, let's get some food, you know. Take me out to the restaurant and I'll buy you all some food. She just didn't want to talk about spiritual things. It was very frustrating for me as her son. It's like, come on, Mom, this is the most important thing in life. No, she didn't want to go there. But in the last year, her resistance came down. And she began to listen. And one of the things that she always wanted me to do, she said, I want you to sing Amazing Grace at my funeral. She'd always tell me that. I want you to sing Amazing Grace at my funeral. I finally got frustrated. Maybe that's not the right word, but I finally felt to say, Mom, I don't want to sing that song at your funeral if I don't know that it's true. That you're saved. That the amazing grace of God is in your life. Said, I don't want to sing it, Mom. I don't want to just get up there and sing a song. And I don't remember how she responded to that, really. But she was opening her heart more and more to us. And it was a work of God. You know, I told you about my brother already, right, Chip? Well, guess what? My mom saw something different in Chip, too. I talk about spiritual things and she go, this is her way of saying it. She go, there's something different about Chip. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, he's just different. You know, he's like, he's becoming more like you. But she said, he's still Catholic. And that was confused her. like, wait a minute, you know, I thought you guys were like a different religion. So we try to point out, well, no, Mom, it's when you ask Jesus into your heart, it makes you different. He lives in you. And she began to open her heart to that through my brother. And you know, one of the good memories I have is my brother sat next to her when she died, held her hand, and he read to her Psalm 23. He told me this. I read Psalm 23 to her, and then I prayed for my mom. And he said that's when her hand slipped away from me. And what a joy that my brother would do that. My brother, who wasn't even a Christian before a year ago. Glory! You know, when I got home from North Carolina, I was so happy. I felt like I did when I was a boy when Christmas came, you know, and I got all these presents. I'm serious. I went out for a walk that night and I was just like, God, I feel like I'm going to burst. I'm just so joyful. My mother's in heaven. My brother loves you, you know, and you're working in my family. And oh, glory. I about flew around that block. Oh, thank you, Lord. So yeah, it's not a sad time for me, even though, you know, there are moments of sorrow, but it's so joyful. She began to open her heart. We prayed for my mom. God, give her dreams. Do whatever you need to do. And He did. One of the things that happened was Sarah Grace, actually all my daughters, got to go at some point to take care of Grandma, because my brother and his wife, it was overwhelming sometimes, and they'd take a vacation or they did this or that. And so what a thankful that my girls did that. I'm really thankful. Sarah probably did it the most. I think she went 10 or 15 times maybe. And Sarah was our little missionary. And all of them were, for that matter. Go minister to Grandma. Well, Grandma had a dream one night. And Grandma had this dream and she told it to Sarah. And she told Sarah, don't tell anybody about this. She said, people might think I'm crazy. She said, don't tell anybody unless something happens to me. Which is her way of saying, until I'm gone. Unless something happens to me. So Sarah kept it a secret until afterwards. But she had this dream and she went to heaven. And I don't have all the details right, but either Jesus or somebody in heaven just told her, you're almost there. You're almost there. You're just lacking about that much, you know. And she told Sarah, you know, I'm not sure what that thing is I'm lacking. But I want to find out. And I guess Sarah prayed for her then. Came back another month later, a few weeks, and she had another dream or it was the same dream, a very similar thing. But she said this time, she said, there's something wrong. There's something I need to do something about. There's this person, I don't know the details, a certain individual that something needs to be confessed. And so Sarah said, well, you can pray. You can ask God to deal with that. Let's, you know, pray. So my mom bowed her head. She prayed and she, somehow in her way, she gave that thing to God. She confessed it. And after that, she had a peace. Like, there's nothing in my life, you know. Because I'd ask her, I'd say, Mom, is there anything in your life? Is there anything, you know, that's not standing, that is standing between you and God? She said, no. And my mom would pray with me one time, several times we prayed for her to get saved. I mean, that would have been unheard of before she was bedridden. But I said, Mom, explain the gospel to her. You know, just ask Jesus into your heart, Mom. You know, confess your sins, acknowledge you're lost. Ask Jesus and, you know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. She opened her heart to that. And I remember this one time, I felt she got saved this one night that we were there. But I heard that the next day she wanted to go to the casino. And that just threw me for a loop. I was like, what in the world? And I thought my mom just, she wanted Jane to take her to the casino. Well, it didn't work. God intervened, she couldn't go to the casino. And it just struck me recently. I know, this is really weird. But my mom was a giver. And she felt like God was on her side now after I prayed for her. And so in her newly baby Christian thinking, if I go to the casino, I'm going to hit the big one. And I'm going to have all the stuff I can give away. Maybe you think I'm nuts to think that, but I think that's what she was thinking. Now, of course, we know that's crazy and that's not, you know. But newborn babes do weird things, don't they? Right? They make messes that we have to clean up. And so anyway, God had given her that dream, those dreams, I believe. And like I said, and then she said to Sarah, okay, that day, she said to Sarah, you people have the truth. She said, you all have the truth. I know you have the truth. But then she again said, but what about Chip? And that's when Sarah said, Grandma, Chip asked Jesus into his life too. It's not whether you're Catholic or whether you're Mennonite or whatever. It's, do you know Jesus? That's it. And of course, we know that the doctrines do matter. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about a soul surrendering to the Lord in faith and in repentance. You can do that anywhere, any kind of background. And there'll be a lot of people in heaven that we might be surprised at where they came from. So for my mother to say that statement, you all have the truth. That's a testimony of God working in her life. So brothers and sisters, don't give up. That's what I'm encouraged in. I prayed for my mom for 30 years. Many of those years it didn't look like a thing happened. It seemed like she was just as closed, as hard, as whatever could be. But God is faithful. And I know every story doesn't end this way, but praise God, some of them do. A lot of them do. Thank the Lord. Well, I've shared with you about my mom. I really love my mom. There's a lot of good qualities about my mom. I hope it could encourage you today. And I'd like to encourage you in this. It wasn't always fun to go see my mom, especially the last year. You know what, me and my children on the way back from North Carolina, we said, you know, we're so glad we went to see Mom so much. Instead of having fellowship with our, you know, our friends here or whatever, a lot of Sundays we'd go to see Mom. Go to see Mom. You know what, if you've got some loved ones, like in that case, take advantage of the time you have with them. Once they're gone, they're gone. I have no regrets. Even though I was in North Carolina when she died, I have no regrets because I said everything I wanted to say. And she said everything she wanted to say. And I'll have those memories as long as I live. I'd like your prayers. Wednesday, I'm supposed to do a eulogy for Mom, Catholic Church. So I'd ask for your prayers. I could say things in the right way. It's a little touchy, you know, situation there. And I believe God can give me wisdom. That He can touch more people through this whole situation. Whether it's my siblings, my sister, I have three sisters that aren't saved. And whether my cousins, my mom's friends. Would you all pray for me this week? I could be anointed of the Lord. To say the words of God. And at the same time, honor my mother and present her life in a proper way. Well, I think that's it.
I couldn't help but think of my own dear mom, as you were sharing, Brother Paul. It's 22 years since my mother has gone to her eternal reward, and there's no greater joy than to know that Mom is with Jesus. Hallelujah. So I was just thinking about how to continue the service here. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And it would be a blessing if we could pray for Brother Paul now, if you would feel comfortable with that, clear with that. And then I thought about others who have unsaved loved ones, and you've been praying. Maybe we could surround you, and we could spend some time in prayer, one for another. Never give up. To think of a brother-in-law that I mentioned here to some of you. And I believe, as near as we could tell, in his simple understanding, something changed in his life, and he now loves gospel singing, Christian music, and just devours it. And there was a time that wasn't that way. And God still has him here. And the doctor said over a year and a half ago that he probably won't last more than a few months to live. But anyway, this morning, I think it would be a real blessing if we could just surround our brother Paul with prayers. And then anyone else who would desire prayer for your unsaved loved one, if we could just come forward and gather around and pray one for another. And so if someone comes forward and wants to just maybe share briefly of what their prayer burden is, and then we surround them and pray for them. And even if you don't want to express it, if you feel it's too personal, private to express it, that's okay. We want to surround one another in prayer. Amen. So let's begin with Brother Paul. And just as many brothers as can and want to, just come forward. Young people, everyone, let's pray. Amen. Brother Paul.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.